Good morning, Oregon. Thank you for once again loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History Syndicated Newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the ghost of Yaquina Bay Lighthouse, a ghost that won't be laid to rest, even though that ghost is admittedly completely fictional. People just don't want to believe it. This story was first published on December 27th, 2009, under the headline, Story of Yaquina Bay Lighthouse Ghost Won't Be Laid to Rest. Here we go. A really good ghost story depends for its life on the possibility, faint or imaginary though it may be, that it might be true. So it's ironic that the Oregon coast's most well-known ghost story should be an avowed work of fiction. But is it really? Well, yes, of course it is, but there are actually some people who aren't fully convinced. The story started out as a fictional short story published in 1899 in an issue of Pacific Monthly magazine. It was penned by the sister-in-law of poet Joaquin Miller, Lishan M. Miller of Eugene. The story was titled The Haunted Light at Newport by the Sea. In it, Miller wove a gripping story of a mysterious young woman left at a Newport hotel by her seafaring father, who plans to pick her up in 2 weeks. She takes up with a group of tourists from the valley who are camping nearby. One day, the group of them decides to explore the old Yaquina Bay Lighthouse, a small structure built in an unfortunate spot in 1871 and shut down for good just 3 years later to be replaced by the Yaquina Head Lighthouse a few miles north. The location where the Yaquina Bay Lighthouse today is located is now known as Chicken Hill, and there are a lot more trees around it, but at the time it was all sand duney stuff with a sort of derelict structure in the middle of it. It was really quite a ghostly-looking setting. It's easy to understand why Lishan Miller thought it would be a good setting for a ghost story. Well, inside, the adventurers find a secret door leading to a shaft that apparently runs all the way down to the sea. A chill fog moves in, and the explorers decide to go, leaving the secret door open behind them. As she's about to leave, the girl, the author gives her name as Muriel Trevenard, realizes that she has left her handkerchief in the lighthouse, because of course that's what you do, right? You leave your handkerchief behind in haunted houses that you're exploring, and she goes back to get it. Shortly thereafter, screams are heard. The party races back to the house and finds the secret door closed and locked, and no sign of Muriel save for a pool of warm blood. The warm bit there is just a masterful addition. The original of this story is a beautiful piece of 19th century writing and well worth the 10 minutes it takes to read. You can find the full text of the original story on Tom Closter's website, which is www.splintercat.com, and it's also available in Google Books in the original 1899 publication. It's on page 172 of volume 1, number 1, October 1899. And if you look those parameters up on Google Books, it'll serve it right up. It's in the public domain now, of course, because it was published before 1923. But the really important and interesting thing about this story is the life it's taken on since it was written. Visitors to the lighthouse still ask to see Muriel's bloodstains on the floor. Condensed versions of the story can be found on paper placemats at Lincoln County restaurants, and reprinted copies of the story are hot items at area tourist traps. Often when people learn that it's from an 1899 magazine article, its credibility is enhanced rather than reduced. Monthly fiction magazines are mostly so far in the past that most people don't remember them, and modern magazines, even literary ones such as The New Yorker, are mostly nonfiction. Indeed, there are lingering doubts as to the truth of the story's falseness, if you will. Now, this is probably a sort of reverse psychology wishful thinking. A story this compelling and realistic would be much more powerful if it were possible to believe that there's some possibility, however faint, of it being true. You Edgar Rice Burroughs fans out there will recognize this dynamic immediately. Author Susan Smitten cites a 1975 article in the Eugene Register Guard in which Lincoln County Historical Museum curator Pat Stone says a young hitchhiker came through looking for work. Having nowhere to stay and no money to rent a room, he unrolled a sleeping bag at the lighthouse. That night, he said, a ghostly young woman appeared floating outside one of the windows. She told him not to worry and that he would find work the next day. And so he did. Well, of course, the question of whether or not the old lighthouse was actually open and available for transients to come inside of and sack out is another interesting question that this raises. But whatever the truth is, the living and the dead alike owe a debt of gratitude to the citizens of Lincoln County, who in the 1940s formed the Lincoln County Historical Society specifically to prevent this lighthouse from being demolished, and who, with the help of Ohio industrialist and Oregon native L.E. Warford, raised the money to do so. Which raises another really interesting question. Would that have happened at all if Miller's story had not made the lighthouse famous and invested it with the romantic, thrilling aura of her mysterious tale? Maybe not. I would submit that probably not. So today, restored to its former glory, it's a state park. It's also the oldest structure in Newport and the only wooden lighthouse in Oregon. And whether this ghost story is true or not, and I would bet you pretty decent coin that it's not, that ghost story was instrumental in the saving of this historical treasure. So I guess you could almost say that the ghostly presence of Muriel Trevenard actually saved the place, even though Muriel Trevenard has not now and never has really existed. Cool, huh? That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything on our central website at offbeatoregon.com. There's about 180 episodes or columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, the Facebook page, and the Twitter feed. There's a couple dozen of these audio columns on iTunes if you want to go check them out. If you've got a road trip coming up and you don't mind having your ear bored off, on the website, there's even a link to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which came out just last month. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story. Sources for today's episode include websites at yaquinalights.org and lighthousefriends.com, and books by John B. Horner and Susan Smitten. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra, atlasstringband.com. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.